Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
And a Happy New Year, glorious New Year. Our theme for this year, that is God's Word, has been heaven on earth. And I hope you've experienced that daily.
Amen.
Heaven on earth, because that's God's will. That's God's purpose. Is that we not go to heaven, but we experience a foretaste of heaven on earth continually. And therefore, you don't have to go to experience it. You just go to see all of it. You'll see the rest of it. God has reserved some of it when we're mature. How many know we're not yet perfected? We're not yet mature. And that process of maturity does not happen when you sing "Just as I Am." You can't just become a Christian by walking down the aisle and then that's the end of it. That's just the beginning of a lifetime process, because that's when you receive eternal life. Everybody here has eternal life. Because you believed on Jesus. So that's how it begins. But that eternal life then produces fruit, and that's how you know that the dead works of this world are dead, because they have no eternal life to produce them. So when you have the eternal life living in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then the power of the Holy Spirit operates according to that eternal light, so that your deeds are wrought in God and not in the flesh. So many who are Christians, who actually did receive eternal life by faith, then left it right there, and that life produced nothing. So it was dead. It was a tree that produced no fruit. Now, the fruit is not legalism. The fruit is not flesh behaving itself. The fruit is not morality. The fruit is not religion. All those things that man regards highly. And most of our founding fathers actually had that kind of faith in man being virtuous, as though the purpose of religion was not to worship God in the spirit and in truth, but the purpose of religion was to produce morality. Religion does not produce morality. I'm going to say it again. Religion does not produce natural virtue. It doesn't. The world may think what we do is morality. They may think what we do is moral virtue. If they only thought that, they wouldn't glorify the Father. The reason why they glorify the Father is because they know what you just did was not you.
That's right. Amen.
That wasn't you. That was a new you. That was a new you. Galatians 2:20, you. No longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, died and gave him, blah, 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 blah. So the reason why Jesus died was so you could live. He died to be resurrected inside of you, which is his dwelling place forever. Now, if that's not true, then heaven isn't on earth. Heaven is only on earth if, in fact, eternal life is inside of you. And most Christians, I would say, that I know, are not certainly not walking by that, but I don't even see them repenting daily, because repentance is daily. I don't see them repenting daily that they came short of the glory of God. When you have the eternal life living inside of you, it's not you, it's eternal life. Therefore, you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. That's not faith. That's the fruit of faith. That's not the tree. That's the fruit. So when you're born again, you're no longer part of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. When you're born again, it's a spiritual kingdom. Now you can worship in spirit and in truth because you have that eternal life. At any rate, that's why Jesus came. And I want to look at Galatians 3 today. I hope I can... I don't have a board that I can write this on. And I don't think we have any markers anyway. But I don't want to begin at the first. You know, it talks about foolish Galatians and so on, witchcraft and all that. I want to begin down at verse, let's say, 15. Brethren, he's talking about the covenant that Abraham cut. I wish I could illustrate this in a way. Let's say this is the covenant. This is the covenant of Abraham. Then later comes the law. Later comes the law. So I'm going to make this the law. This will be the law. So later comes the law. And Jesus then fulfills both of those covenants. The covenant of Abraham, which is a promise. And the law, of course, is not a promise. The law is a command to you. So by misunderstanding the law as though the law was the righteousness God demanded is to not understand Christianity, but is to understand Judaism. So Judaism did not build on the promise of Abraham. It built on the law of Moses. Big mistake. Everyone here needs to realize God does not want you to be at your best. He does not want you to be at your best. How many know that you mistake and sin and breach daily? I mean, it doesn't. All you have to do is live with you to find that out. But it doesn't take a lot if you don't know it. Other people around you know it. That you are not yet perfect. You are not yet perfect. So what God wants is not to produce... Oh, excuse me here, Jesus. I just stepped on Jesus there. I didn't mean to do that. I put Jesus right in my way. He is the way. So he wants you to live by promise, not by command. He wants you to live not by law, but by gospel. This is the good news. This is heaven on earth. You cannot have heaven on earth with a law. Under the law, nothing's made perfect. So, why preach on this? Because I think the church today still doesn't get it, how good this good news is. He didn't disannul. Okay, the law given to Moses, this is the Jewish law that was given to Moses. Same as written on your heart. This Jewish law, just more clear, more full, more exact. But it's the same law. This law that he gave cannot disannul the promise that was given 430 years earlier. So a later statute could replace an earlier statute, but it could not replace the Constitution. Now the people could change the Constitution, but not the legislature, not the general powers of government in their ordinary operations. There's no way. The only one that could change the Constitution is the one that made the Constitution, which is the people themselves. And they made it under the higher and greater laws of nature and nature's God. So let's put these up higher. These laws stand above this other law. They don't disagree with it. They just stand above. So that these lower laws here are subject. And that idea of God being over everything is everything. If God isn't over everything, then nothing. You have nothing but darkness and chaos. So God wants everything in order. And heaven on earth, then, is that we're the only people that know this. Other people know that there's right and wrong. I don't deny that. It's written on their heart. Do right, don't do wrong, and so on. But yet you have tyranny out of that, because sooner or later some strong man is going to just corrupt the system as we're experiencing in our own nation, even in this state. things get off easily because of people. I don't know if you've noticed that, but people are actually worse than dogs and cats and birds and fish. People have a tendency to sin, and dogs and cats don't. They just do what they do. So they're not morally responsible, nor are they worshipers. They don't have that duty. You only have three duties. One to God, two to the neighbor, and three to your government. Those are the only three duties you have by nature. You have no choice about those. They're given. So these laws that are given, and then later the Mosaic laws, just kind of, as I said, making it even clearer so that your sin is even more grievous than it was by nature. The natural man isn't that depressed over what he's done. He does know what he did was wrong. He ate his neighbor in the tribe across the river for breakfast, and he knew that was wrong. But he's not that disturbed by it because the tribe tells him that's a good thing. Eating your neighbor is good because they're bad. They're bad. They're bad. They're evil. They're not good. So how many of you can justify anything? But your heart still condemns you. And when those people that ate their neighbor become Christians later, the first thing they do is repent of their wickedness. I remember my father, remember I told you my father, who's dead now, had a one-night stand with my mother. And I remember the first thing he said when I met him for the first time. I remember the first thing he said is he felt bad. That's the first thing came out of his mouth. He wanted to say he was sorry that he couldn't raise me. And I was so grateful he didn't.
Yeah.
He worked for Jimmy Hoffa in Chicago. And his brother Tom and his brother Vic were both in the mafia. And on my mom's side also, Uncle Duke was mafia. And so on. So I had some bad people in my background. I'm okay, but my background was not good. How many know that I'm all right? I'm okay. But that was a miracle. And that's because of this promise thing. Amen. I would never have gotten in through the law. In the mafia, you don't even try to keep the law. In fact, you're excited. You're proud that you broke the law. And I was as a kid. I always was, from the time I was 9 years old, I was stealing stuff and whatever, and I loved it. I thought this was great. I remember, I've told this story, but I love this story. The guy would hit the golf ball down the thing, maybe a Titleist, nice Titleist. And then I'd run out from the woods and grab that ball and then run back and hide behind the tree and then wait for that guy to pass, and he was looking for his ball and stuff. And, then the next guy that come along, I'd go and tell him this nice Titleist, So I was making money hand over fist. It was good for a little kid like me just doing that. Ride your bicycle up to the golf. We had several golf courses. If you go to the better ones, you get the better balls. And then you sell them for less than their value, and the next guy's ready to buy. So I was a conniving, lying, deceptive, tricky person from the time I was a little kid. And I was under no authority. My third father, he had no ability. He could give the law, and he'd whip me if I did wrong. He took out the strap, take you down in the basement. They have basements up in the north. And beat you. And he didn't just beat you so that you were mad. He beat you so that you were scared. You understand that? He always said these words, "I'm doing this for your own good." I never could figure that one out, but I knew you weren't supposed to wiggle or anything, because if you did, he'd whip you twice. So you had to take it and so on. But anyway, so stealing and doing bad, everybody knows they've done wrong. But I didn't feel bad about it. I just went out and did it again. Just got smarter the next time. My parents had no idea that I lived a double life. Completely opposite to what they thought I was like. Because I behaved myself when they were looking. When they weren't looking. Jumped out the window. Second story. And then went about, did my thing, climbed the tree, got back up on the roof, got back into my bedroom. And they never knew it. They never knew it. Because I asked them later, did you know that I did that? No. So I was a complete deceiver, a trickster, a Jacob, Yaakov, a supplanter. I wanted what wasn't mine. I wanted to get ahead in life instead of being on the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. How many know that when you're on the bottom, you have nowhere to go but up or dead? That's it. So it wasn't a big deal, you know, because the whole family was doing it. My grandmother was doing it. My aunt was doing it. Everybody was doing it. Everybody was bad. There were no marriages lasted. None. Not one of my relatives stayed married. So I never could figure out at Christmas time, particularly, whether Gloria, who was my uncle's daughter, was going to be there or not, because he kept marrying new wives all the time. And my grandmother had four husbands, and my mom slept around and messed around and so on and so forth. So, you know, I just never knew exactly who my people were. And who's my dad this time? So the third father, whom I called Adolf Hitler, I loved hating him, because he wanted to discipline me. He believed in, you know, like Adolf, he believed you should discipline. Rausmitja! You know, that's a German word for get out of here, you know, whatever. And he never talked a lot. If I had 30 sentences with him, that's it in my whole life. He didn't talk a lot. But at the end of my life, when I became a Christian and everything, I got him saved.
Amen.
So that was neat. That was powerful. And got my mom saved. And I witnessed to my other two dads. So I got all my dads witnessed to and so on. So, but at least the third one, Adolf, was okay. Turned out okay. But I hated him and despised him. I mean, that's a great way to grow up. Hating and despising and being against the whole world. Because you learn a lot that way. You learn what the world is like. You learn how to live on the streets. You learn how to live by your wits. But Jesus came to bring good news to someone like me. Amen. And I am so grateful, thankful to this day, not to live as my parents lived and not to be stuck under me. I had to kill off the old man. Why? He was that way. Totally selfish, totally self-oriented, completely in love with this world. I wanted everything. And I didn't care how I got it. So a lot of you had moral training. I had no moral training. The only thing they would say is, hey, it's raining out, take a raincoat. That was about it. That was the only moral thing. I don't remember anything else. You know, just kind of behave yourself. That's all they meant. Because there weren't any fathers around. They didn't stay that long. My mom was hard to live with. I love that. I love that about mom. Drive them off. Get rid of them. They were all bums. Perverts. And by the way, my grandfathers also, all of them, were all in Leavenworth or whatever. They were all in the federal pen for doing all kinds of things you shouldn't do. So the whole family was, you know, kind of Bonnie and Clyde thing. Y'all are familiar with that here, because Bonnie just lived a few miles north of us here. And one of my church members who killed 13 people, a hitman for the mafia, he also, that Bonnie was his neighbor, and his grandmother, who wasn't really his grandmother, adopted him, and all the murders took place in her backyard because there was the still which the Dallas sheriff used to utilize. In other words, all of the crime people and the law enforcement people met together up there. So it isn't exactly the way the movies are. I'm just telling you, it's a crooked world out there. And so I grew up that way, just wanting to. My biggest problem was, should I be a white collar criminal or a blue collar criminal? That was my biggest decision. And I like the blue collar because it was, you know, stayed under the radar, but you did all the heavy work. But I thought as I grew up, you know, I think I'll go white collar. I think I'll go to college. I was first one to ever go to college and amount to a hill of beans. But what good was it? It was just all intellectual. So I loved it. I thought it was great. This was awesome. Till my grandmother said, "Jim, well, that philosophy and art and stuff, will that put bread on the table?" I don't know. Never thought about it. I just did what liberal arts people do. Just get one degree after another, after another, after another. So let's look at Galatians here, verse 15. "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant." It's talking about Abraham, the promise. "Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls it." Here's Jesus confirming Abraham's covenant. Remember, Isaac was born. He didn't get the land, so he didn't get it all. But Isaac was born, and Jesus comes out of Isaac. You remember that Jacob came out of Isaac, and Esau came out of Isaac, but you can tell there's a little problem there. But finally, Jesus is the son of Abraham. And in the New Testament genealogies, it said, Jesus, son of David, son of God. Oh. Praise God. Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. Wow. 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 Jack.
There's a rainbow of colors in there.
Wow. This is like heaven on earth. I'm dangerous when it comes to marking up on boards. All right. Now, I want to read this passage. This is incredible. And I'm summing up our whole year. "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." So you remember how the book of Revelation says, don't add to or subtract from this book. The Muslims have added to and subtracted from, but you can't disannul what Jesus said. I don't care how much Muhammad says, he has zero possibility of changing anything that was confirmed and sworn by an oath. Can't do it. Especially if it's the one God doing the confirmation. "Now to Abraham and to his seed," capital S, Jesus. To Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. So God makes a promise to Abraham, who is the capital S seed, not the Jewish people who are the small s seed, not even us who are small s seed. We're derivative. But Jesus is the seed that gives eternal life. You can't get eternal life apart from Jesus. You can't get it from the law. You can't keep the law and then be perfect and get the reward because you kept it. You can't keep it. It's impossible to keep. You can't keep this law because this law is going to judge this law. So this promise that was given, this is how a trust is made. The first thing you have in a trust, the first thing you have is a grantor. Someone who has something and wants to grant it to someone. And so he then makes a promise, and that promise is what I'm going to allocate or put in here as the race or the res, the thing or the property of that promise. And sometimes that promise has, you know, an immediate thing, like Isaac was born, an intermediate thing, and so on and so forth, and then ultimate and all this kind of stuff. It can have lots of levels. But that goes to a beneficiary. And so this beneficiary, the whole point of making a trust is to set up a happy beneficiary somewhere who gets all the blessing and none of the burden. That's the difference between a trust and something else. Is so here's the intended, certain ascertainable, here's the intended beneficiary. This is the one for whom the whole trust exists. It doesn't exist for God. It exists for the benefit and the safety and the happiness and the joy of this intended beneficiary, and that's you and me. So when the angel is saying, you know, for unto us a child is born, and you know, all those things, and then today in the city of David you're going to find a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and so on. All of that good news is for us, that if God is good, and God is good, this is God here, smiley face, God wants to make a promise to us, but then he gives us a law. So here's the law that he gives us. Now this is the law of the trust, the law of that trust. And so he manifests his intention. So here's what he intends. Now his intention is manifested, or intends. All right. So his manifestation, or making known or revealing, make known his intention, is that God wants to have you, obey and do this law, do this command. So here's a command, tells you to obey, and if you obey, you get a reward. So that would make you happy if you could do that. The problem with that is that no man can do it. So God absolutely, deliberately, absolutely knows what he's doing, gives you a command you can never fulfill. So everybody here is to be good. None of you are any good.
That's right.
None of you are any good.
That's right.
Because God is perfect. And he wants you to be perfect as he's perfect. That's what he says. That's part of the deal here under the law, is be perfect as I am. Be perfect. Be holy as I'm holy. Be perfect as I'm holy. So he's defined what the word perfect and holy means. It means just like him. So as in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. So God is perfect. Be holy. You know, be everything like me. And so be like Christ. You know, be perfect. Well, that's ridiculous, because none of us are. How many know that we've all sinned and fallen short? Everybody has sinned and fallen short. And it would be different if you said, do the best you can. How many know we could have done that? Hey, I did the best I could. By God, I did the best I could. By God, you know, I did. And you can try to justify what you've done, but you know, in the end, he calls you sinner.
Amen.
All have sinned. I mean, yeah, but I didn't sin as much as she did. It doesn't make any difference. If you sin a little bit, even one little point of the law, you're out. Oh, that's kind of rough. Well, that's the way it is in heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. So here's God, he is the owner of everything. So here's God, and I'm going to just say it this way. God is good. Okay, if God's so good, why did he give us this law thing? Of behave yourself. Golly, there's one thing little kids hate, it's behave yourself. Better watch out, better not pout, better not cry. I'm telling you what. You know, it's just like, gotta be good, can't be naughty, and you have to be nice. And it's just too hard for little kids to keep that up. All right, you're getting nothing this year. It's like every little kid would get nothing. Because they just can't do it for more than a few seconds. Did you do everything I said? Uh-huh. You know, little kids are just liars, you know, because they don't want to get punished. How many know little kids just lie straight to you? Did you eat all those Christmas cookies? Did you eat those? What happened to them? Little kids are just good liars. How many has ever noticed that about little kids? They're not trying to lie. They just don't want to get a spanking. That's it. It's just brilliant on their part. You know, Kara used to do that. We have cakes and stuff, and she would take a little bit of the frosting off and eat it, and then she'd turn the cake this way, and then she'd come back later because it was good, and she'd eat some more, and pretty soon she had the whole backside eaten out, but then she'd put it back. And so that was our oldest one. So I just love how smart little kids are as to, you know, get their own way. So that's not what God had in mind. So God is good. And so he makes a promise rather than a law. And this promise cannot be disannulled by that law. So the law has to run to somebody, and I hope it isn't me, because I can't keep the law. How many know that under the law, nothing's made perfect? Under any law, I don't care what kind of law it is, you can't do it perfectly. You can do it outwardly, but you wouldn't do it inwardly. That's what perfect means. He means heart and soul. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and might and mind and all that stuff. It's too much. I mean, as God, it's too much. So God said, listen carefully, because of this promise. A trust is never a trust unless it has some kind of property in it. Some kind of race or, you know, something in there that is substantial. And it can have all these other things all set up until it has something in there. And then you can bankrupt it. You can bankrupt the trust, and that's what Adam did. Adam bankrupted the thing right off the bat. Adam and Eve. Well, it was Eve's fault. I mean, you know, she ate that apple first. I mean, Adam would never have done that. How many know that? Guys are not like that. Well, the truth is that where was Adam, and why did he not be taking care of his wife? Why did he just let her wander off and talk to snakes? You know, so that's Adam. Adam messed up. Where'd you go, honey? I don't know, but I got one of these apple things. You like to eat it? Yeah, you look good. Okay. And so Adam just sinned deliberately. He didn't even have the snake to deceive him. The woman at least said, I was beguiled. I mean, that was a good one. Adam blamed God. The woman that gave this to me. That's what I did. I would know guys will blame their wife. Hello? So don't marry a guy. I mean, if you're thinking of marriage, don't. Get something else, a cat or a dog or a fish or something, or, you know, whatever they're doing these days. All right. So it's taken women all these thousands of years to figure out that marrying men is not a smart idea. Hello? So now they're trying women. Shows how dumb they are. That's dumb. Why? Because you can't please people. You can't please anybody. So the problem with God is he's got people that he made, but these people who are the intended beneficiaries of all his goodness, who are to be, you know, safe and happy. First thing you want is security. You know, we all want security. We want to be safe down here. And then we want to then be happy down here. Well, those are two things you're not going to get. How many notice that the whole world is built in such a way that you never get either of those? If you want happiness, you're not going to get it. Has anyone discovered that? Down here. Down here. And in heaven? Keep the law. You want to go to heaven that way? So that's a different kind of righteousness. This is called, you know, being right under the law. Righteousness. That's righteousness. That's a different kind of righteousness, the kind Jews are trying to do. In fact, everybody has that kind of written on their heart thing. Is be good, don't be bad. But nobody can do it. Not the be perfect, be holy thing. So God deliberately gave you, when he created you, he deliberately made it in such a way that he knew that no one would ever keep it. He knew that no one would ever keep that law. Wrong. He knew that he'd get one. Amen. He'd get one down here. This is Jesus. Here, Jesus then is the Son of Man. Doop. So Jesus appoints, I mean, God the Father appoints Jesus. Now, as Son of God, he couldn't do this. He could be, as Son of God, he'd be up here. But as Son of Man coming to earth, Jesus was born, begotten, says only begotten, but up here he's unbegotten. He's the Logos, the divine, holy Logos forever. That's the eternal Logos. That's Son of God. He can't do it that way. So here's the Son of God part of him. Son of God. So here he doesn't come down as Son of God. He has to empty that. Now, that doesn't mean he stops being Son of God. It just means he sets aside the form of it, right? So don't worry about understanding this because, you know, God knows your brain can't handle it. But the point is, just listen to the language. This is a game we can play. It's a game God wants us to play. Is Jesus, as Son of God, never dies. He's unbegotten. He lives forever. He never was a time. But here, he came into time at a certain point, and God calls that day that he came into time. He calls that the begotten. You know, that was the day he was begotten. Okay? So, somebody thinks, well, Jesus is a creature. No, he's not a creature. He just took on the form of a servant. And he can do that because he has to be the mediator between God and his beloved over here. This is me and you. You're God's beloved. And how many know that when Adam was here as the trustee, it didn't work? And when Nimrod was the, you know, emperor of the world, it didn't work. And anybody else that you put in there, it's not going to work. So the only true trustee is Jesus. He's the only mediator between God and man. And so his job then is to bless and benefit, not with his stuff. He's not going to give stuff of his own here. But he's to take all this and manage it, all this property here, whatever's in the trust. Well, it happened to be bankrupt when he got it. It's like Adam had messed it up so bad that there's nothing left. That's called unjust enrichment. If anybody has a trustee who enriches himself, that means he gets part of the blessing and you don't get the whole blessing. Or he even takes all of the blessing and you get all the burden. That's what human life is all about. It's all about the intended beneficiary not getting the benefit God intended. Well, how come if God's so powerful, so strong, so smart, he doesn't make it happen? Because he doesn't want to. I mean, you know that God has a different idea. His thoughts are not your thoughts. Listen carefully. This is the good news. The good news, I'm going to make another color. I love these colors. All right. The good news is that God intended this law not to fall on me over here. This will be me, you. You and me. He wanted the thing not to fall that way, but to fall over this way onto Jesus. Kill him. Put the law on him. How many know that when Jesus fulfilled the law, he did it not for himself? He didn't need to keep a law because he is the law. But he put it onto him so that it wouldn't come onto me. He was my sub. He was the replacement for me. And he said, you know, hey, I intend my promise to go to whom I wanted to, and this law cannot disannul this promise. This promise is greater than this law. Why? Because I intended to bless Jim and everybody here. In fact, I want all mankind to be anointed. Eternally, temporally, everything. How many of you are having a blast right now, but later in heaven, you might not get there? You know, a lot of people are trying that one. Is, hey, let's see how much happiness I can get down here and how much security and safety I can get down here and pleasure for a season. Most people live that way. And guess what? You miss out on heaven then because you didn't fulfill the law. And so if you go your own way, you're not fulfilling God's law. How many here know that you broke all the laws? Now, let me just give you three. One, all your worship goes to God. Two, all your love goes to your neighbor. Three, all of your taxes and tribute and fear and honor to Caesar, that goes to the political. It's called your civil. So you have three duties. You have one to God. He gets all the worship. Caesar does not. Number two, all your love. God doesn't need it. I mean, if you love God, keep his commandments. You know, he doesn't need it. But what he wants is you to have faith in him that he keeps his promises. So here, I have faith. I have faith. Let me make that in green or something. Let's change colors here. I have faith here. This is my faith that God can't lie. I don't have faith in myself. I have faith that God keeps covenant. God won't lie. When he swears an oath, keeps covenant. When he swears an oath. Now, all of this is to say you should have heaven on earth every day of your life. All of this is to say that the churches aren't teaching this. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just saying they don't. They teach it, they say a lot of words, but it actually doesn't happen. People aren't actually Church members aren't actually happy all the time. When bad things happen, they gripe. Hello? And that you missed it. You missed it. I'm just telling you, I'm happy all the time. Why? Because I like that promise thing. I'm going for that promise. If God wanted to promise me, and he has all wisdom, all power, all strength, all glory, he has all the ability and capacity to get that thing to me freely, but he won't force me. That's one thing about God. All the forcing goes over here from the law. All the blessing and joy is like a little kid getting a present at Christmas that he didn't deserve. He don't care. Just open it up. You got any more? You know, little kids are just, they really understand God perfectly. They don't understand Santa Claus. I mean, they think Santa Claus is, you know, a good guy, but really he's not. He's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. Well, God's not doing that. He already knows you're naughty. So he's wanting to get it to you whether you're naughty or nice. He doesn't care what you look like. God is completely unconditionally loving. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's no need then to judge other people because God doesn't. God has only judged one guy, Jesus. Killed him. Just flat out killed him. So here's, I'll put this promise right here. There's the mercy of God. Right there is the mercy of God. Now, it's not the power of God, but it's the mercy of God. So the mercy of God is he died so you don't have to. So all the burden ran here, all the blessing ran there. That was God's intention from the beginning. He knew exactly what he's going to do. How many know God knows everything when he planted that tree and said, don't eat of it lest you die? He wasn't saying, I'll kill you. He was just saying, you'll die. If you're not perfect and holy just the way I tell you, you'll die. I'm not going to kill you. You'll just die because you didn't get the eternal life I was going to give you. But he wasn't going to give it through this one. You can't get eternal life through the law. You can only get it through the promise. So when Jesus came, he died for all your sins. Now they're eliminated. You don't get them. When God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner. When God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner. Why? Because you accepted this thing of Jesus being greater than this law thing. Here, I don't want to be under this burden. I want to be under this promise.
Amen.
I want Jesus to get the burden. I want me to get the blessing. Now, that's a man. How many here are good husbands? Okay, nobody raised their hand. But I'll ask it again. How many here are good husbands? You know, you're just the kind you should be. A servant so that the wife gets all the blessing and the husband gets all the burden.
I have one of those.
You have one of those? Good. Yeah, that's good. I like that. So actually, every man should be like that, especially a Christian. Why? Because Jesus took all your burdens. Now it's your turn to take all her burdens. And then mom and dad will take all the kids' burdens. And it just works out great. The problem today with our legislature is we've got a lot of people that are out for themselves. They're not selfless. But look, if you knew that Jesus took care of everything, you wouldn't need to take care of everything. You wouldn't need to steal, like my mafia background. You wouldn't need to steal or cheat or lie or kill. You wouldn't need to do any of that because God supplies all your needs.
Amen.
Daily, constantly. That is too good news. Is that not good news? So all this good stuff, I know the world is not experiencing this. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about us, Christians. There's the problem, not the world. Us, we're not experiencing it. you got all the words, but you don't have the concept down so that you're living it. You should be enjoying every minute of every second of every day, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Woo! Glory! It's exciting to be a Christian. So how many know every day is Christmas? Every day is New Year's. Every day is everything. You know, it's just for us, it's over. It is. Yeah, it is good. It's too good. This thing is too good to be true.
Yeah.
And I wish these big churches had the good message, but unfortunately they have a little bit of, you know, world in it. You know, in other words, they're feeding the flesh.
Right.
We feed the spirit. You can tell how it's working. So they're bigger than we are. So that we just get the dregs. We just get what's left over.
Yeah.
But they take the big chunk. You know what? It ain't going to work that way. It's not going to work that way. I'd rather just have one Christian. I'd rather have just one than, you know, 500,000 who actually are just, you know, half in the world, half in God, get all mixed up, confused, carnal, compromised, so on and so on. No, no, no. Here it is. It's so simple. God is good. I mean, God is good. God is good. That means he's not just good. He's not just good in himself, because that didn't help me, because this law thing, that wouldn't be good if he put one of those on me. Yeah. I don't like burdens. And no little kid does. You've never met a little kid that wants to be told what to do all the time. Right. They want to do their own thing. And you can see it as they grow up, they get more and more bold about their rebellion. I love it. No. I love that. They know how to do it. No. You go to bed right now. No. And then when they get older, they do it like this. Why? You see how smart they are. Why? Because I said so. Well, why does my older sister get to stay up? It's a great question. And then what can you say? You see? So you just go, because you're 2 and she's 87, you know, whatever. The point is, you know, the parents treat children differently, and they want to know, why can't I stay up and, you know, do all the fun things you guys are doing? Why do I have to do what you tell me? So little kids rebel against that, but they don't say anything till they're 16. Well, some do it even earlier. I love little kids, even Lona. She's still perfect right now, but there'll come a day, and she'll say, no, Mom. Amen. That happened to your other daughter. But you'll be back. They just say that. And you laugh when that happens. Yeah. I love it when my kids rebel. In fact, I set it up so they would rebel. Just like God. Because he knew that when you tell somebody to do something, they're going to fail. How many know that God knew they would eat of that tree? Yeah. God knew it. He knew it because he put it in the middle of the garden so they'd have to pass it every day. Don't eat that tree. Don't eat that tree. Don't eat that tree. And so every day they're thinking, why not? Why can't you eat the tree? It looks good. Remember Eve said it looked good. It looked good to the eyes. It looked good to her. She was like, there's nothing wrong with this tree. I've looked at it every day. I've thought about it. I dream about it at night. I can eat of all the other trees, but I want that one. I want that one right there, that forbidden one. How many know that when you do everything God says under the law, you can eat of the tree of life? But nobody ever has done it except that guy right there.
Amen.
And he died for me so that none of my sins, all the things I did wrong, won't even count. But I'll get all the promises. Ha! He is the end of the promise.
Amen.
He's the purpose of the law. That's why he took care of the law, and then he gave us the promise. So Jesus gave us an example, which unfortunately for 2,000 years, Christians haven't really grasped. It's so, so incredibly simple. God is good, therefore you can be happy and safe, eternally and temporally, every minute of every second of every day. Now, Christians don't believe that because you've been taught by the church. You've been taught by experience. You've been taught by this world. And so they offer all kinds of goodies down here as well. You know, hey, if you go this way, I don't believe them. I don't believe anybody can find happiness down here without Jesus.
That's right.
But with Jesus, you got it.
Amen.
Do you know there's joy unspeakable and full of glory? Yes. When all you have to do is be dead. How does that take place? Well, it's no longer I that live. In other words, this old I that tried to keep that law, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I had to change my mind about being good, decent, and kind. I remember one time I think we saw Ben-Hur, this movie, and I never did care for my mother or anything like this. And I thought to myself, when I saw that movie, and I said, I'm going to like my mother. But the minute I stood up, I changed my mind. So that was the end of that. You can see how good I was. I mean, I was just fickle. How many of you know that you can be fickle like that? You can set out and think I'll be a better husband. I did that one time when I was driving home to Rolls Road up in New York. I was driving home and I thought, that'd be nice. I'm going to walk in and say something nice to Peg. I never had, seriously. And, you know, I just was a ruthless tyrant. And I, as I was going in, she said something that just completely ruined that whole feeling that I had. And so that was short-lived. So I had a total habit. And I was already a minister. I was already a good Christian pastor, minister, person. And of course, I was a total phony and a liar and a fake. And so in 1970-something, Peggy can say exactly, I just got up in front of my church where David used to be part of it. I just got up in front of the church and I said, look, I'm a phony, a fake, a liar, con artist, etc. And I just thought I'd give you guys a chance to, you know, ditch or get rid of me or something. But I doubt you'll do it because I've watched you, you know, now for a year. I'd only been a minister for a year in Texas. And I believe you're all hypocrites and liars. Now, if there's one of you here that isn't, because I know I am, I'm a complete fake and liar. But if there's one, please stand on your chair. I would like to examine you according to the Bible. So, I've read the thing. I don't believe in it, but I've read it. I do know what it says. And so nobody stood up. Y'all don't think that's funny. I think that's funny. There's not that many ministers to get up and say I'm a complete liar and a phony and a fake. But that's what the Bible says. I mean, I was reading the Bible. I'd get up every week. I would get up. And I'd go to the altar. We had an altar in the church I was part of. And I would kneel down at this altar. There were little steps you could go up. I'd kneel down. I'd go, God, you know I've been a phony and a liar all week. I promise next week, I promise I'll read my Bible and do better. But right now, don't let me be caught today. Give me kind of a good sermon that I can just get through. And then people will still pay up and I'll be okay. Every week. I did that every week and I lied every week. So one day I just got up and said, look, I think I'm tired of that. I'm just going to tell you the whole truth. The whole truth is I shouldn't be a pastor at all. Because I'm completely still selfish and have all these rotten thoughts and so on and so forth. But I do work hard and so on and so forth. So, but it's just all for my own glory. You know, and I'm not getting it. I'm not getting all the glory. So, you know, I just thought I'd let you know. And so everyone stayed, except two families. And I had a little list in my hand of what church you could go to if you wanted someone who would lie to you. You know, so you can go to this church, you go to this church. And the Balls and the Fierkas, they were the two families that left. But everybody else stayed. And Harold Taft, who was the weatherman, remember Harold Taft? Okay, he was the weatherman, the dean of weathermen, and so on and so forth. He was a member of the church. And he loved our church. And he stood up. And the reason he loved our church was because nobody knows this, but he loved to play the trumpet. And so every week he got to play his trumpet. You know? And so he got up and he said, I don't know about the rest of you. I've been a Baptist my whole life till I got to this church. And I like this man. He's everything he says he is, no good. But he's at least honest, and he's hardworking and conscientious. I'm sticking with him. Uh-huh. That's what basically he said. And everybody decided to stay. Uh-huh. That was amazing. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have done that. But, you know, whatever he saw in me was a lie, but you know, I was okay with it. So I got to keep my job. But I did say this, I'm going to travel the world. I have the wherewithal to do it and so on and so forth. I'm going to travel the world, try to find a Christian somewhere, a real one. I told him this. I'm going to go anywhere in the world. I want to find who's real and who's not. And I don't think there's anybody real because I don't know anybody. And I know I'm not. But I'm just going to see if there's anybody anywhere. And I did. Within 6 months, I was a Christian. But I didn't know that. I didn't know even how you found God. I'm just telling you my own story. I didn't know how you found heaven on earth. I was always happy-go-lucky in this world because I lied and cheated and stole and stuff like that. Lied to my wife. I lied to everybody about everything. Is there anybody here like me? I don't know if you want to admit it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Two. I got two. Could I have three? Three. Praise God. Oh, that's good. You know what? God doesn't care what you didn't do or did do. He intended from the foundation of the world to have a people. He knows exactly who they are. But he wanted to die for everybody. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, 6 months later, I fell in love with Jesus. Totally. Now, I met these ladies that were all, they were completely sold out for Jesus, lived totally by faith and miracles and all this stuff. And I read their books and I liked them. So I said, let's go and live with them. Peggy, let's go and live with these people to see if they're the real thing. Because I don't want to buy a wooden nickel. I want the thing to be real. I mean, either I'm going to be all the way devil or I'm going to be all the way Jesus. One or the other. That's it. So, because I can't, and now that I've burned my bridges, I can't go back. I have to just keep going. So, since I don't know God, and he'd have to find me, I wouldn't even know which direction. If I go to Dallas, he'll probably be in Burleson or something. So I don't know where to find him. But I'm just going to trust God. God, if you're up there, and I know you're not, but if you are, you got, certain amount of time. And so God came through. It was powerful. And when I fell in love, I fell in love. Totally. 100%. I was completely, totally, 100% happy all the time. I put lipstick on. Put some lipstick on me there. I was always happy. You know why? Because the truth will set you free. When you hear the truth, this is the Bible truth. When you hear that, you are free forever.
Amen.
And I fell in love. Yeah. I'd never been loved before, ever, by anybody, my mother, my father, nobody. But I didn't want it. I didn't want love. I liked just the way it was. But I realized that the way I was living was not good. And my wife wasn't happy. And I knew that. And I didn't want to make her happy either. I didn't care. You can come and go, whatever. But I ain't going anywhere. I'm happy with you. That's your problem. So I just need to know Jesus. Remember I read in the Bible? Seek first the kingdom of God. He'll give you everything else. Now, is that not weird? I read that. I was a pastor. I had to read that. And when I read it, I went, I wonder what happened. If I only sought first the kingdom of God, would he really give me everything else? Is that even possible? I mean, that's what it says. So it's either literally true or it's literally not true. And so I decided, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to, I wasn't doing anything for my wife anyway, but I'm just not going to do anything for her. And so if she leaves, she leaves or whatever. I don't care. And I'm just going to seek God. And I did. And when I found him, I fell in love not with him, but with her. And with my mother. And with my cousin. And with my sister. And I began to go around just telling the good news. And people got saved. And all of a sudden the church exploded. And so it was exciting. But God knows how to change somebody from being a harlot to being a virgin. Someone who's a murderer to being suddenly totally transformed. I'm telling you, if you don't believe that God can change somebody, you don't believe God.
Right.
Because that's all he's about. He's the one that does the changing. He created you and he can recreate you. He can recreate you into his image and likeness. So how do you get heaven on earth? How do you get this eternal life inside of you? So the gift that God gives you right here is the promise of eternal life. This is the promise right here. Eternal life. Life, life, l'chaim. And when you get that eternal life inside of you, it has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Those gifts of the Spirit, they aren't produced by people. They aren't produced by people. Those gifts of the Spirit, were wrought in God. You couldn't have done those except you passively believed in Jesus. And here, all I did here was repent. I just repented of this. Lord, I don't believe you want me to behave. I believe you want me to believe. So behaving was not my strong point. But I always was honest, so I had no problem being honest. Somebody say, are you wicked? Yeah. I mean, my wife asked me, do you love me? No. I mean, it was 1 second. I didn't have to think. I never had to be tricky because I didn't mind being rotten to the core. It didn't bother me at all. But when I fell in love with Jesus, now I realize I have to. I don't even know how you think. I gotta renew my mind every day. So I spend 5-6 hours every single day. I still do. To this day, I'm sure I was up at 4 or 5 today. I always get up early and spend umpteen hours with God, getting rid of all my sins, praising Him, worshiping Him, thanking Him, loving Him. Hey, exactly what ministers are supposed to do. Did you know that's what a minister should do? Spend time in the Word. Read the Hebrew, read the Greek. You know, I'm just always doing that. My wife had to wake me up, in fact, today. Jim, do you know what time it is? No, what? Well, it's after 8 o'clock and you got to be there by 9. It takes an hour, you know, so to get here. Oh. Well, that's because I get so caught up in the Word. I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so excited about what I'm reading. I love meditating on God. I don't care about the church. I care about God. Now, when you're a trustee, I could be a pastor here. When you're a pastor right here, a leader, a father, and anything, a president, I don't care what it is. When you're a leader, you're to be a servant. Okay? And the first one to serve is your wife. I'll tell you how a man treats his wife tells you everything. How did Jesus treat his wife? She was a sinner. She was not worthy. But he said, I'm going to be the husband for her. She's going to be my wife. I'm going to totally die for all of her sins, pay up all her debts. I don't care what she's done wrong. I'm going to pay for all of it. Then I'm going to multiply it and make sure she gets everything. And so right here, my wife is happy today because there's no weight on her. I never put weight on her anyway. But there are no laws. I don't have any rules for her. You have to weigh this much or don't eat that or don't do this or don't do that. I don't have any rules for her. Why? Because God didn't have any for me. He gave me promise. So when I married, even though I was a total pagan, it was to death. Even though my whole family divorced, nobody ever stayed married. I decided I'm going to stay married. And I kept that. It was amazing. I believe God was working in my life before I was born. But I didn't know that my whole life. I had no love for God. I never was going to be a Christian. I just thought they were all hypocrites and liars. And I thought, wow. But when I read this Bible, because as a pastor, I went to school, and I wasn't intending to be a pastor, but somehow, because I was there, and I just started reading that thing, and it changed me. So that was amazing. So then I was a cultural Christian. I wasn't a real Christian, but I was a cultural Christian. How many of you can be a cultural Christian and not a Christian? I mean, I was just a civil, you know. Well, I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a, you know, so I guess I'm a Christian. And I had all the head knowledge. I knew all the words, but they didn't have any meaning to me. They never touched my heart, never touched my heart, never touched my heart. Did you know that laws don't touch heart, but gospel does? The true gospel touches your heart, changes you forever. And you fall in love with Him. Yeah, it's a love affair. Margaret, it's a love affair where you just feel like so loved that nothing, I don't care what happens, it's all going to turn out for my good. That's why? Because right. He made all these ridiculous promises in the Bible. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I mean, I like that one. Or how about, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Or. And I began meditating, memorizing all of those things, looking up every single word and parsing every verb and participle and so on and so forth. I was constantly studying because I had a lot of brains. But my brains did not make me a Christian. My brains made me, you know, a sinner. All I was guilty, guilty, guilty. I didn't feel guilty. I just was guilty. I never felt guilty. I never had a feeling of guilt. My deal was just don't get caught. Amen? You know, I just don't want to get caught. Not by God. I didn't care about God, but people. Because how can I steal from and lie to them if they catch me? So I don't want to get caught. But now, I don't have to do anything. I'm completely at rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. Ah, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. See that? His yoke on me is marriage. Zygos. That's the Greek. So Jesus wants to marry me. Here he wants to be my husband, and he wants me to be his wife. That was a weird idea. But I'm into it. I'm totally into it. He wants to marry me, so his yoke, that's a yoke that puts two things that are not the same together into a unity. Okay? So this marriage was that God and I would be one. Since he has eternal life, I have eternal life, etc., etc. And so when that happened, all of a sudden, I wanted to do his will. Nobody had to teach me anything. They didn't have to teach me to tithe. I wanted to give everything. So I said, you know, I just want to serve. I don't want anything more. Why? I got everything. When you find Jesus Christ, you have everything you've ever wanted.
Amen.
Now, if that doesn't happen, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. Because this, what Jesus did for you, here's a person to be condemned, to go to prison, to be killed, whatever. And all of a sudden, you're reprieved. And not because you behaved yourself or said, I will from now on. I didn't do any of that. I just believed his promise. Now, I'm gonna close with reading this chapter. It's so awesome. Now to Abraham and to his seed, where the promise is made, he saith not as to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one. So he's talking about Jesus. And to thy seed, which is Jesus. All right, the Messiah. And this I say, that the covenant was confirmed before God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of no effect. So the promise cannot be null and void. For if the inheritance be of the law, then it's no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. This is 430 years before the law. Wherefore then serveth the law? Well, it was added because of transgressions. Not God's, yours, mine. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by an angel, or by angels, in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. All right, so here is God. God is one. So I'm going to write that down. One. Here's God. He wants to get something to me. I'm one. Okay? Now here's Jesus. He's the mediator. He mediates because he's Son of Man and Son of God. He's both. He can both do everything this one wants and everything this one needs. So he serves God by worshiping him, and he serves man by loving him. And that's what Jesus did. And there isn't any other. Caesar can't be it. Nothing else in the world can do this. Those three duties that you have. Does anyone remember the three duties you have? Anybody remember? Which one?
Love God.
Love God or worship God.
Worship God. Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor. And render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, whatever it is. Taxes and tribute and so on. So that's it. Now who gets the short stick on that one? Caesar. Why? Because you don't worship Caesar and you don't love Caesar. You don't love him. You honor him. You fear him because he's got a sword if you do bad, so on. But the truth is, he can't make you perfect. He can't create a church. He can't perfect a church. He can't do anything with religion. So religion all belongs to God. Love all belongs to the neighbor. But what Caesar gets is very important. Because if you, in fact, are not afraid of Caesar, you don't worry about the taxes and all that kind of stuff, which I don't. Let Caesar be corrupt as all get out. I'm not obeying Caesar because of the person. I'm loving him as a person who's in that office, even though he's a scoundrel. Because he's potentially someone you could convert. So, you know, And that's why I got involved in politics. I got involved in politics because I knew I would be incorruptible. You know, I would never take a bribe, or you can't give me anything or scare me or intimidate me or whatever. I represent the people. That's it. And I'm going to be like Jesus. I'll take all the burden. I'll give them all the blessing. I'll protect all of their rights. They're all of their God-given, natural, unalienable rights and so on. And I did. And everybody who knows me knows that. They know, you know, he can't be bribed, or you can't scare him or anything else. Why? Because I'm going to always stand up, and I'm smart as a whip. I'm going to stand up and say, that's not right. This is what's right. And, you know, you can't argue with that. David's now in that post, in that position, and it's good because this state actually is a little weird, a little different than other states. Because here we have a lot of our legislators who actually believe in Jesus. But not just believe in him, but they live it. And that's different. And so they can have all the little squabbles and so on. How many know they're wicked also? But that's not an issue. The issue is, did God set it up so that there could be true government or just government on the face of the earth? Answer? Only the Bible can answer everything. Yes, God has always had that idea, and he will have exactly what he wants. So therefore, that's why I got in. I didn't get in because it was nice or people weren't crooked or whatever. I don't even care all the stuff they do. I just knew I won't. That's it. I will do exactly what you're supposed to do and take all the whatever they do. Because I'm not worried about it. I don't need anything. I don't need any money, or I don't need a scholarship, or I don't need a favor, or I don't need anybody to give me anything. When you're like that, no one can corrupt you. How many know that? My God, I would never even tell the church if I had a need. Mm-mm, no way. I'd tell God.
Amen.
Let your request be known unto God. Why? He's pretty good at supplying. Amen. How much do little kids worry at Christmas whether they're going to get presents or not? Well, poor people. But I'm talking about, you know, of our kids. They don't worry about it. Why? Because they just trust that somehow it works out. That's the way you should be. Do you realize you have a God in heaven? And if God wants a true church on earth, he'll have it. And if God wants a just government on earth, he'll have it. And he does, and there will be. And it'll never go away. I guarantee it. And if we were the last state in the whole world, we would win. Did you hear what I just said? Now, the founders of Texas obviously believed like I believe. And they believed that tyranny was a bad thing and liberty was a good thing. And so they were willing to fight a battle they couldn't really win unless everybody was agreed to fight for their rights. And that happened. So it's powerful. Now, don't get up yet, Dave. That's all right. I'll be fine. Wherefore serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, someone who stands between. Now, a mediator is not a one, but God is one. So he's on one side. He's one of the parties. Is the law then against the promises of God? Can you have any conflict between them? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could give life, there it is. Verily, righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So you have to be a sinner to be a Christian.
That's right.
Okay? I'm going to say it again because I want you to respond to this. You have to be a sinner.
Amen.
If you're not a sinner, if you don't have the bad news, there's no good news for you. If you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. If you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. He is a Savior, He is a Lord, and He is a Bridegroom. And He saves you to Lord you, to Bridegroom you.
Amen.
But the ultimate is that you inherit everything as His wife and sit on the throne of heaven, ruling and judging over all heaven and earth. Did you know that's your ultimate? The devil in a few years, and I believe it's just very few years, I believe I may live to see it, the Lord will return after the bad guy has had his 3.5-year deal, and then they'll never again will there be a wicked person. So I believe what I've done, and I did this deliberately. I don't want to go into politics to accomplish anything. I want to go in to conserve what it was supposed to be in the first place.
Amen.
So I'm not trying to get someone to go along with me or anything. I say no, that's not what the original said. This is the way we do it. And I was the chairman of the whole state. I was the chairman of the rules committee. Now, without rules, nothing happens. All the other committees are worthless. You have to operate by rules. So everything that was done by my committee for 6 years. I got elected over and over and over again. And after that, I got an even higher spot. So in other words, I was in the most, the most powerful place in politics, and that's rules. Whatever the laws are, whatever the rules are, whatever the ordinances are, and so on. And I had to be someone that totally understood what it was supposed to be. So the judges in this state were all on my committee. The lawyers in this state were on my committee. So I had, 21 of them, or whatever it was. It was powerful. So you're able then to have a big influence on all the key players. So the governor and the lieutenant governor and all the attorney general, they're all friends. They're all people that I know call me on the phone. And I like mentoring them. Does that make sense? That means where I get them to see that their problem is not political. Their problem is not that they're corrupt and so on. Their problem is they don't know Jesus. And it's interesting how top businessmen in the world are very interested when they hear the truth. Not all, of course, but many, much more than you would imagine. People know that political problems are not political, economic problems are not economic, and social problems are not social. They're all spiritual based. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. So you solve the kingdom of God first. Get that, and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Which one? This law one? No, that won't work. This gospel one, that'll work. Two kinds of righteousness here. This one, this one. Now, God has shown me incredible things because I'm a master at the Greek and the Hebrew and stuff. I can just tell you today, almost all the churches are off, even though they're wanting to do the truth. So they need to be taught. And when you teach it and then live it, you have to live what you're teaching, otherwise it's worthless. But when you're living what you're teaching, men hear and they go, I just didn't know how to do it. I knew I was doing something wrong. I just didn't know how you do it. So you have to teach people then how that the beneficiary is everything. This guy right here is what everything is about. Everything is all about my wife. Everything is all about God's wife. Everything is that man was to be submitted to God voluntarily from the heart and the soul and the strength and the neighbor as thyself. That's wonderful. But how many know we haven't seen it? It's just words. But in the millennium, of course, we'll see it. But look, my kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. So therefore, why should we wait till the millennium? Aren't we in the millennium already? Yeah. Haven't we been in the millennium since Jesus came? That day of the Lord started with Jesus. The last days. That when Jesus was there, it was all he called the last days. Meaning, when you become a believer, you have eternal life right now. Even though you haven't seen or got your inheritance, you're not enjoying all of it yet, you got all that you want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're not waiting for the millennium. The millennium is when the rest of the world sees that we're in charge. Today we're not in charge. Today, we're not in charge. And so the lukewarm church is in charge. The harlot church is in charge. The hypocritical church is in charge. But that's okay, because we're not of this world. So when they're judged, we won't be. Now, what's our purpose? Well, it's not only to save the lost, it's also to save the lukewarm and the hypocrite and the bad guy and the enemy and so on and so forth. So the best has been saved. Heaven on earth every day. Every day. You think you can do it?
Amen. Jesus can.
Jesus can. Amen. That's good. So that's what we've been teaching all year long, is this word here, everything in this word is good news. Show me one bad news in this whole Bible.
No.
Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees. I can show you that. Uh-uh. It's not. All the bad fell on Jesus. All the good goes to anybody. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
That's why I can talk to presidents of the world. I know bunches of them. Why? Because those presidents trust me. Why? Because God supernaturally opens the door and I can go and talk to them. And all the top businessmen? Why? Again, same reason. God opens up every door. I believe the best has been saved to the last. And because I believe that, I'm able to go anywhere at any time to do anything. Why? God makes a way. How many know that God, he likes his ideas. So since all he's looking for is just, you know, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Many are called, few are chosen. So everybody's called through the law, but only a few are chosen through the gospel. But what's the point of the gospel? Is to get the people under the law, out from under the law, so that they get into the gospel. Because people like good news. First sermon Jesus ever gave is, happy is the man who? Happy is the, you know, happy are the poor in spirit. Remember he said that? He said blessed. The blessed is makarioi, which means happy. And so, happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those that are, you know, treated poorly, abused, and so on. Well, that's great. How can that be happy? Ah, easy. Because Jesus Christ takes care of all that. In other words, if you're on the wrong side of the deal over here and you're sad, let's say your mouth went the other way, you know, you went that way, it wouldn't make any difference. He could change you in a minute, in a second. All you have to do is hear the good news. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith never is in the law. Faith is always in the promise.
Amen.
Obedience is never to a promise. It's always to the law. But look, he doesn't want you to keep the law. Jesus kept the law for you. So now there's only one thing left, faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that's why it's so good. How many can see this is why little kids love Christmas? Because they're going to get stuff. You know, my grandkids, they go to two or three of them, you know, because they got all these Christmases. They just love more presents and more presents.
Right.
Did you know that you can have a lot of presents? I'm serious. Not in the world to come. Now. Here.
That's right.
What good is it if he doesn't bless you here? He doesn't want to bless you in the world to come. That was the old Catholic idea. Is suffer here and then you get great things there. Be sick and poor and so on. No. And then the Pope's had all the money. No, he doesn't want that. So that's why we busted that idea up. Because we discovered that God was not only good for earth, he was good for heaven too. But the main thing is, he's good for earth. Because that's what we are right now. We're on earth, and so we're smiling because God is so wonderful. He got so many gifts. He'd love to give them all if he could, but we're not ready. So get ready. Take them. Open your umbrella up. Turn it upside down so you can collect those blessings. He's pouring out. He's pouring out. So, are you all happy?
Amen.
Is anybody here miserable?
No.
You know, don't be miserable. and let your face know it. Face. You know, because these are the days. There's no bad days. Did you know there are no bad days with God? Every day. Every day. Every day. From glory to glory, he's changing me.
Amen.
He leads us in triumph all the day long. So, God is good.